Welcome back yet again to the Ramble Room, another special edition. Again, we are joined by David Iverson of
Cowboy State Politics.
You say it better than I do.
I wonder why.
Yeah, we're not underneath.
Well, we are at the base
Buffalo
of the Bighorns.
we're not underneath the Buffalo portion of the base of the Bighorns, but we're still there, so you're still valid.
Yeah, I'm still good.
Also with us today is Todd Windsor. Todd is a state committeeman for Sheridan County, if I'm not mistaken.
You're not mistaken.
He changes titles often, and he has other titles, and I never know which ones are clandestine and which are.
That's all part of my makeup, again.
There's been a lot of talk of late about how the Republican Party has been taken over by extremists who have rewritten the platform to their own pattern. And so rather than do what we would really like to do, which is just blast all the people that disagree with us, what we want to do is take a good look at the platform and what it actually says. A lot of people will hear that there's complaining that these radicals have taken over, but they don't necessarily know what these radicals have said. So we want to quote from the platform.
Before we get there, Ken, just an important point. A lot of the people that are accusing us of being radicals were part of the discussion about the platform at the last Wyoming GOP convention. In fact, they were in the meeting, and it's those same folks that are now claiming that the party's been taken over by radicals. So let's not get anything mixed up here.
We should probably go back a little bit to the history of the current platform, is that the current platform that the party's using dates back to 2012, to the state convention, of which a number of people who are now whining about it were part of and approved the platform on the floor. We never actually were able to make changes to the platform at the 2020 convention because we ran out of time, thanks to those same people. Our 2020 platform is a continuation of the 2016 platform, which is a continuation of the 2012 platform.
Well, if that platform changes radically from year to year, there's probably a problem.
Yes. It shouldn't have to change at all. In fact, the most recent change was number 20, which is a freedom of speech statement, which, there's some background
back
on that one, too.
Well, I think the important part, one of the important parts of the party platform is the very beginning, where it says we believe that there are timeless truths. And everything that you see in the Republican Party platform are things that most people generally agree on. We say that they're timeless because they're true, and they've always been true.
It's interesting. Wyoming was one of the first states to take its platform and basically distill it down and condense it so it fit on, one piece of paper front and back at the most. And the National Republican Committee, the National Party, actually took the Wyoming platform as an example and took their national platform, which was, 70 pages.
Right, ridiculously long.
And distilled it down to a similarly short piece of work. And that was all because of what we did here in Wyoming. So,
thank you all.
Yep.
I remember an interminable Zoom conference hashing out some of these things. We got in on some of that, and it was exciting. So what I propose is that I will read a few of these articles and let you two comment on them. And I may or may not have a comment myself. Diane is here with us too. I forgot to mention you.
Hi, Diane.
You just blend in. She belongs here. The first point on the platform of the Wyoming Republican Party is called Life. And it reads, all individuals are endowed by their creator from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death, with the rights of life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. The only purpose of government is to protect these rights for all. Pretty radical.
Pretty crazy stuff it's there.
Crazy radical.
Now, I'm not going to pull any punches. When you say from the moment of conception, there are those that are going to object to that. They want it to be viability or some other expression.
Here's the problem.
No, go ahead, David.
The problem here is that to be a conservative, you have to believe in life. I mean, you can't be kind of a conservative one day and be conservative the next. I mean, it's kind of like being pregnant. Either you are pregnant or you aren't. There's no middle ground here.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, let's just call it what it is. The first article is talking about abortion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason why we call abortion by that term is because it's clinical, mm-hmm. right? It makes it more easily swallowed, right? Well, the truth is we should just call it what it is, and that's killing babies. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're a conservative and if you're a Republican, you can't agree with that. I mean, and so Article 1, I mean, that's plain and clear as day.
The word itself, to abort something, precludes or has the idea within it that there is something there.
Yeah.
That we don't want to continue, or therefore we're going to abort this.
Right.
Todd?
The basic premise of the entire platform has to do with individual rights, the sanctity of life, the freedom of individuals to pursue their own goals without government interference, small government. You know, obviously, when you have small government, you should also have low taxes and few regulations. I mean, that's essentially the platform distilled into a few words. So when you see number one, you know, it's saying that individuals are endowed with these rights, and the purpose of the government is to protect those rights so we can live our lives. It throws in there the moment of conception because later on, I mean, we talk more about the right to life issue in the platform, mm-hmm. but it's all part of who we are.
The second statement is under the title of equality. It says every citizen is equal before, equally protected by, and equally subject to the law.
Correct. So the other pattern you'll find through here, which is in both number one and number two, is that we talk about every person. We don't care what race they are, what creed they are, what their sexual preference is. We don't care about any of that stuff. Everybody is an individual, and they are entitled to these rights.
Well, I agree with that. This actually says every citizen. To me, it's making a distinction between someone who has lawful citizenship and someone who has ignored, by choice or by whatever, some portion of the law. If we are a nation of laws, then we need to be in obedience to those laws, and the reward for being on the right side of those laws is citizenship. If you disagree with the law, you think maybe the law is racist, you think maybe this should apply to virtually anyone, then you change the laws. You don't simply ignore them and declare them invalid.
Well, for me, I mean, Article number two, I mean, it goes straight to the history of Wyoming. I mean, we're a state that values individual liberty and individual responsibility probably more than any other state. And you can go to any museum in the state and you'll find pictures of black cowboys working on white ranches and white cowboys working on black ranches and Hispanic cowboys working on both. And like Todd said, we really don't care in Wyoming what you look like, how long your hair is, what color you are, or what preference you have, you know, in the confines of your own home. Everyone is equal before the law. And that's what we mean. And it's been that way since the inception of Wyoming.
You know, back to Ken's point, the current administration has now deemed the term illegal alien as not valid anymore, and they're changing everything. But
Democrats changing words?
Yeah.
No.
To me, it's a bit Orwellian.
But, you know, the term alien has been used in forever in terms of immigration and people's status in the country. I mean, if you're not a citizen of that country, you're an alien. We use it here. And, you know, green cards are issued to aliens. They're not issued to
undocumented
people. And so, yeah, now they've taken, you know, somebody who is in this country illegally and that they didn't get any papers, they didn't get permission, they just got here, and you know they won't even call them illegal anymore, even though they are here illegally. They're not citizens, and consequently, they're not really entitled to the same protections under the law that a citizen is.
Which creates the desire to become a citizen, to assimilate.
Yeah, the Democrats have taken the value of American citizenship completely away. To them, there's no value in being a citizen. Well, there is. They can extort tax dollars out of you. But there's no value to citizenship anymore.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
The third article is regarding the Second Amendment. Says the right of individuals to keep and bear arms and ammunition shall not be infringed, restricted, or denied. Individuals must never be prevented from defending life, liberty, or property.
Yes.
Yes.
What about gun-free zones?
Dumb.
There's no such thing as a gun-free
Precisely.
Zone.
Precisely. That was my point on another show, was if you live in Wyoming and you think there is such a thing as a gun-free zone, you are sadly mistaken.
There's not a gun-free zone in the world. I mean, no. They're only gun-free if you have somebody there in a secured area with a metal detector and a complete search of everybody who enters that. But even so, there will be people there who are special. And I say that with quotes, little air quotes. That are allowed to have guns, you know, because they're more special than the rest of us, which
Animal
seems to
farm.
Be, which is very anti-American.
We're back to Orwell again.
Weird.
It must be a common theme on this show.
Well, for me,
it's a good theme.
The article number three about the Second Amendment is tied directly to the first one of life, mm-hmm. that because you're an American citizen, you have the right to protect yourself and your family, and the way that we do that in America is with guns. And, you know, the Constitution is very clear when it says shall not be infringed. It means not at all, not just a little bit, not in any specific case. It means period, shall not be infringed.
When we had you on, David, once before, you did a little talk about trespassing.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's a valid point and worth a brief repeat.
Well, to trespass, I mean, that's kind of a triggering word in Wyoming. I mean, we're a state that has that people generally speaking own at least a little bit of land, and to trespass means that you step one foot on your property or my property without permission, mm-hmm. and that means you're trespassing. So when you apply that to the Second Amendment, if one step is placed on your right to bear arms, well, that's a trespass. And that's something we don't tolerate in the state of Wyoming. And so that could be one little restriction. It could be a law. And frankly, you know, we already have enough laws to prevent danger, quote unquote, dangerous people from possessing firearms. And we just need to enforce them. But in the state of Wyoming, when we say it shall not be denied, I mean, that adds another layer in the party platform. It means not only will we not infringe, you're not going to deny somebody else the right to keep and bear arms. And so I think it's instructive when you go back to that definition of trespassing. You know, it gives people in Wyoming a new understanding and appreciation for what Article 3 is all about.
One of the, I could go on the Second Amendment for the rest of the period if you'd like.
I think pretty much any of us could.
One of the interesting things about the Wyoming Republican Party bylaws is that it specifically states in there that we will not hold a meeting in a facility that denies the right to bear arms. So whenever we schedule a meeting somewhere, they have to allow people in there carrying guns. And if you go to any of the state party meetings, there are people there carrying openly.
Most of them.
Yes, most of them. And the ones who aren't carrying openly tend to have one concealed someplace. It's probably over 60%, I would say, at least have a firearm on them.
It even happens in the ramble room.
Well, I should hope so, yeah. The interesting thing about guns and such is that let's look at Great Britain, where they have made it wrong to defend yourself in any manner, and they have taken almost everyone's firearm away, except for a few hunting, and then people who have to keep their target arms and certain storage conditions off their premises. But take all that out. They have a huge problem now with knife, people getting hurt with knives or
you're
attacked
not,
with knives.
You're not suggesting that the crime rate went up after gun control, are you, Todd?
Well, yeah, because after they banned all their guns, you could go down and buy a Glock for £200, which was almost $200.
Yeah.
Their value went down. You could go down and buy one on the black market in London. So they've cracked down on guns. So now everyone's using knives. And now they're trying to crack down on knives to the point where you have to have permission to buy a chef's knife to make your dinner with. And I'm not sure they give you steak knives at restaurants anymore. So when you start looking at number three, it's not just firearms. It's everything else.
There is an innate God-given right to self-defense. If I rear back, like I'm going to throw a punch at you, and you throw an arm up to deflect that punch, you're meeting force with force, and there is no one on earth who would deny that you had the right to defend yourself in that case.
Unless you're a subject in Great Britain.
Well, that's my point. If I grab a knife and come at you, you better have something that is an equal or opposite force or better. And at some point, some arbitrary point, we've just decided that we're going to tell good people that they can't do what God has instilled in them, and that is defend yourselves. And it's illogic.
So take this to the next step, our friends the Democrats.
Yes.
They claim that they are pro-women. They claim they are pro whatever, LGBTQ, gay, WXYZ. They claim all these things, yet the first thing they do is they will tell a woman that if she's being raped, she should submit. She should not defend herself, especially with a firearm. You know, they're telling these, I hate to say, people who may be less strong or less capable of defending themselves that they shouldn't be allowed to have the tools that equalize the playing field.
Right. And then they're going to take away the cops that are there to help.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, you submit to rape, and then who do you call? A social worker who comes and says, there, poor thing, have this drug, and you'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating contradiction because, as you put it, Todd, our friends, the Democrats, claim that they are in support of everybody's rights. And, in fact, they create a multiplicity of groups and then ascribe certain rights to that group. And yet, at the same time, the Democrats are the party that restrict people's rights the most. And the clearest example of that is the Second Amendment.
Yes, which, you know, they just introduced a bill to ban silencers, except for law enforcement and military.
Oh, of course.
Yes, the special people.
Yeah. Well, we're back on the animal farm.
Yep.